Or he's like, hell yeah, it is Fez, bro. Catch me on the takeover.
Stop watching if you do that. We do not want you here.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back.
This is the Late Night Motor Club.
The only podcast you care about. I am Alex Burley.
I am Steven Nadoski.
And I am Tyler.
And I still need a haircut. So I'm wearing a beanie and a hat for like the 7th episode in a row.
I got mine 2 days ago, so you guys need to get on it.
Keith is also back with us again, as always.
Yeah.
We got the director's cut this time.
Yeah. Keith.
Yes.
Today's episode
is brought to you by
Pennzoil. No, I'm just kidding.
Truck Nuts.
We wish. Yeah, Truck Nuts. You know us. Truck Nuts.
Truck Nuts.
But today's episode, we're going to dive into a little on a topic near and dear to my heart, and I definitely know at least a little bit of you guys as well, since I know you're emotionally invested in your vehicles. But
I am.
We're going to go over
quite true
the differences between buying a car based off of emotion and buying a car based off of specs or track times and all that kind of whack shit, you know.
Right. Mm. And before we start today's episode, would you please
please
subscribe?
Please.
Subby wubby to
hit
our potty waddy.
I don't, that's a different show.
Okay. Like, subscribe,
please, yeah.
Comment, all that type of stuff. But yeah, subscribe, follow along. It's something where
one more subscriber closer to getting Alex Burley to his LFA, which we know he got close to his dream. He came within proximity of one.
So close. I saw my first one ever in person because I took my car in for service. Nice. real car guys take their cars for service.
Did they service it?
Yeah, the oil change on the alignment rack as always because it's back. But I saw my first one, Nürburgring condition.
It was yellow too.
It was yellow.
Yes, it was literally my dream one. That day is the first day I found out those cars are not 500 grand. They're about 2 million. So, exactly, Keith. We're never having one. I feel it. I feel the pain.
They were really selling it for 2 million?
Yeah, that exact one just came down from San Francisco, apparently, and it was posted up for sale for 1.999999.
Okay, well, I mean, just keep an eye on it. Somebody in this area obviously won't buy it, and just ask them for a ride, dude.
And then I'll just rob them, yeah.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, no, just keep an eye on them, just to make sure.
Follow them around everywhere, maybe for a couple months.
You know where they live.
Yeah, get their garage code.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then what you do is you do the clean sweep. You wrap your car yellow.
Replace it.
You drive their car out, leave the keys, and they come out, and they're like,
do the Indiana Jones swap.
Yeah.
It's an even trade. All that 3-2-6 stuff, it adds
close
up.
To,
it
all, close to
yeah,
2 mil.
It all balances
easy
out.
Easy there. Easy.
Negative 10 degrees, negative 2 mil in my bank account.
See, that owner won't know the difference.
Exactly.
Perfect.
Probably not because he never drives it. Anyways,
and it's probably because he's probably not emotionally attached to it. He's just buying it.
Yeah, that's why it's cool.
He is actually emotionally attached to wanting that exact car.
Probably because it's the slowest supercar out of all the supercars, and that's the only reason that you would ever buy it.
But it sounds amazing, which ties into the passion side of the emotions where it's...
Precisely.
Exactly.
I didn't even think about this, like bringing this up for this episode. It just happened to be that way. But that is like the perfect example of like a supercar that is like a passion supercar because on paper, it's not...
It's
for the
slow
price,
as shit.
Yeah, for the price, you can get an SVJ or something.
Not even an SVJ. Like, you can get like a McLaren 765.
What are we talking about? It's $2 million. We could get a Bugatti here. We could get a 1,000.
Oh, yeah. You could get a car that goes 250 plus.
I will never spend $2 million on a car, even if I have... $30 million. So
you're telling me right now you're Jeff Bezos.
Kill myself. End of story. You said Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kill myself.
Well, I'm not saying you are Jeff Bezos specifically. You got Jeff Bezos bank, okay? 2 mil is, I don't know, a steak dinner. Like nothing.
One thing I notice about those people that have those levels of money, they're not out buying cars or anything like that. They're at such a different level of things where it's like
I gotta imagine you get desensitized to stuff.
Oh yeah,
like they don't care about cars. All they care about is what they're doing for work. That's literally their life. That's all they care about. They don't care about having this car, this materialistic thing, like with like Elon Musk. Like he doesn't care about materialistic things or anything like that. Jeff Bezos, like None of them do.
His penis-shaped rocket ship says otherwise.
But it's like, that's not something where they're just, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that not material?
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, he's trying to go to other planets.
They're the most materialist. Anyways, let's. That's a different topic. That's a totally different podcast.
That's a completely different podcast.
Okay. So anyways. I'm sorry for bringing up the Jeff Bezos thing. I just meant money wise. Okay. This man's got billions of dollars. They equated it. He bought, I think it was a house for 140 something million, and he equated it to your average person making 60 grand a year buying a steak dinner. That's what the equivalent was to him.
Nice.
Nothing.
God,
That's what I'm saying. So I'm saying, if you have that type of money, you're telling me you're not going to spend $2 million on that LFA.
Well, I feel like, even obviously he's the richest person in the world. So even not to that extent, just like,
I feel like
rich Orange County people, I feel like treat these supercars that they are like kind of flex pieces or whatever, or like status symbols in the same way that they do like Rolexes or like Rich Millies or whatever.
Yeah.
Just because it's like an investment, it's guaranteed to go up. Like, you're not buying a Ferrari F40 being like, cool car, but I'm gonna lose a little money. You're like, no, you're gonna spend that money, and as long as you don't scratch it, that's probably gonna be worth double in like 4 years.
Right, but I kind of am.
To go on your point, if I had billions of dollars and money was not an issue,
and I couldn't spend it quick enough,
I would have a insane collection. I would have houses just for cars to put stuff in.
Right. I feel like at that type of level, when you're buying things, I know we're on a fucked up course for this podcast, but
big tangent.
But what I was saying is, if you have that type of money, I'm definitely going to side with Joe Rogan on this.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
This is a bad episode, bro.
If you have that type of money, it's socially irresponsible for you not to have some cool stuff.
Oh, I would say it's socially irresponsible to get that much cool stuff.
Really?
Yeah. Help people. Don't buy a $2 million car, dude.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, true, back to the topic.
Anyways, passion... purchases, not passion builds, like episode two.
So two things. We got passion emotion. That's the reason why you're buying a car.
Passion emotion.
On the other sand. Other sand.
Passion other emotion side, on the other sand.
We have, like, let's say you're buying a car just because it's a fast car.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, just off of, like, a spec or something like that. So.
So a lot of people would talk crap like, go. I was going to point the camera at you. I was going to say a lot of people would say GTIs are slow.
For as much money as you've put in that, dude, you could have bought a 911.
Okay, yeah, perfect example. I have, let's throw out a number. Like, I've...
$5.
After I'm going to be done with this version of the car, I'm probably going to be upwards, I would say close enough to the six digits. That's something where if I didn't spend any of that money on the car and I would have all that money, I could have honestly had a house by now.
Let's face it. Who's going to buy a six-figure GTI?
Well, yeah. But also, let's face it. Even if you didn't have the GTI, I don't think you would have, like...
saved that money.
Passively, unknowingly been like, you know what? I'm going to stockpile this in my closet. I feel like you probably have another hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be spending it on other things. And that's one thing where it's like people saying, oh, if you didn't spend all that money, like, you would have... No, you don't know your life path if it went a different direction. There could have been other things that would have unfolded in that other life path based off something else. The life path that you're on is the one you're on because of the choices you made. In terms of the choices I made with having my GTI, the reason why is because I chose it as a passion. It's something where the GTI is my personal investment car. It's not something where I'm building it because I'm trying to sell it when it's done. That is not the case. But that's one thing where people buy cars just to sell them. They don't care about the car itself. They just buy it because they know they can make money off.
With people like us, it's like that. It's that perfect hallway of hindsight where you're like, oof.
If I didn't have done this,
I would have done that. And you're like, no, you wouldn't. But yeah, exactly what you're saying. Like, you put money in your car because you want to, not for like resale purposes, obviously. Yeah,
this is a deep podcast. Steven hit me with a hard one saying, you know, you're in the spot that you're in because of the choices that you've made.
Mm-hmm.
Really makes you reflect on all the things.
I think we all are, too.
Yeah.
And it's like can't necessarily look back and see like, oh, if I did that differently, I would have had. No, you cannot predict that. You can't go to the past and try to rework what you've gone through and think of what you've done, like where you would have gotten if you've done. No, you can't predict those things in life. What you have to do is look at where you are now and try to make better based off the past.
Make better.
Make better. Better.
Yes. Name of the podcast episode, that, How make to better. Make Better.
How to Make Better. You got the memo.
Anyways, so when we're talking about these like cars, I know we started off with the LFA, which is the most, I think, extreme That's example.
A very extreme example.
Yeah. I would say on a lesser scale, things of just like cars can be within the same price range, but have completely
drastically different performance.
So let's give an example, not calling anybody out who has this car, but let's talk in like that, like 50 grand price range, because a 50 grand price range is something where there's a lot of good cars in that price range.
Yeah, like clapped Civic, clapped LSs. Those are all like 50 grand now, 100,000 miles. Right. Everyone wants 50 grand.
But a car in that price range would be like Hellcats.
How are they? Okay. I feel like we're a little bit steeper of a price for a Hellcat.
Are Hellcats 50 grand?
Yeah. I don't know. Somebody Google this.
I've never looked at a price of
Well, it just changed his opinion. Disregard the 50 grand, but let's talk about
opinion
like,
on the Hellcat.
Like, the Hellcats, they're something where it's a big V8, high horsepower for what you're getting, but it's fairly...
It's a lot of power for your money.
It's a lot of power for your money, where a lot of people buy it just because it's a very powerful car, and that's just it. But then you also have the guy that's...
Try adding another 50 grand onto that Hellcat.
Oh, is that
Hellcat's going for like 100?
Bro, 99.29, 99.28, 101.97.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay 100 grand for that.
I like just recently saw somewhere that like the Hellcat used to be more affordable.
It used to be. That's what I'm basing it off of. But I guess times have changed.
They realized how sick they are, so they added that sick tax.
Sick tax.
Well, I mean, you know why they're so expensive, right? You're buying a yacht.
Hellcat Whipple.
Yeah.
Buying a boat. Don't talk to me about boats. No, if there's anybody who knows boats.
Have you driven a Challenger?
Yeah, at Valet.
It's
you can't even see
you
out.
You can't
of it.
See out. No.
Dude, that's my biggest thing.
But what's another car within that 50 grand price range that might be considered more of an emotional purchase compared to the Hellcat?
An emotional purchase, I would say a Supra, okay, because we're...
A
new one? We're at 50 grand, mm-hmm. right? Or you can buy a really nice BMW.
Which one?
I don't know my
a
series.
A 50 grand one?
Yeah, 50 grand one. Yeah.
Here's a better
I mean,
example.
Even like the within the price ranges of my car, which is new, like 106, the M5 is in that same price range, walks my car.
Here's a better example. You got a Hellcat, or you could buy an older 911.
Oh, older 911 all day.
Older 911, like if you just buy like base model, like it's not going to be that like that fast. It's
one car is historical, beautiful, enjoyable to drive, and the other one's a Hellcat.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. There's,
the Hellcat is like that I feel like that's really such a perfect example for like a spec car, where it's like people buy this because it does one thing, and that's blow through tires.
Well,
somebody at home who's watching this, die hard, loves the Late Night Motor Club, has a Hellcat, and is gonna be like, fuck these guys.
Or he's like, hell yeah, it is fast, bro. Catch me on the takeover. Stop watching if you do that. We do not want you here.
But there's going to be cars that are pretty much built to be fast, built to have power, and so be it. And then there's cars that are meant for the driving experience, to where there's going to be certain cars that aren't fast, but they perform well, and they're very enjoyable to drive, and people go and buy those cars because they're just fun to drive.
I think a prime example. I'm sorry, Steven. I keep cutting you off.
Yeah, you do.
Go for it.
I keep cutting you off. I keep thinking of another one. Well, as you're talking about older 911s, you can even do an older Carrera, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pay 30 grand because some of them are cheap, right?
Yeah.
If you get a higher mileage Carrera for 30 grand, or you can buy a brand new Miata. Drastically different in performance.
Totally.
Yep.
Still buying that 911.
Still buying the 911.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, some people see, like, the new Miata. They see it more practical. It's a new car. It's going to perform better because it's newer.
It's going to last longer.
But then there's the other side where the passion emotion side with the 911, you value a proper, beautiful, vintage car.
Yeah. They're definitely, like, two very different options.
There's a lot of people that they don't give two shits about older cars anymore. Mm-hmm. They just see it outdated, it can't perform well, yeah. This, blah, blah, blah. They'll go for the newer stuff.
Yeah.
But then there's the people that value the heritage behind it. They value how the car drives based off how it was during that time, because there's certain cars that are, let's say, pre-90s that perform so well for those times. It's insane.
Yeah.
Because that's how you have to treat those cars. You can't compare them to a brand new car that has all this technology. You have to value it as how it was in that time range, yeah. And appreciate it for that time range too.
Yeah, non-car people just look at, like, the older stuff is like, oh yeah, that's, like, outdated and shitty.
It's junk. Instead of, like, it's old junk.
Historically relevant.
The nostalgia. I think there are some things that you can just not trade for nostalgia whatsoever. Driving an older car that's period correct for its time era, and some of these cars are really time capsules now, where you go in, you look at the technology, it's just fun to drive. Their transmission, I'm talking about, like, a manual transmission, the way things shift, and even the driving experience overall, now just having
more, like, raw.
not driving by throttle by wire or something that. You know, just the responsiveness is just drastically different.
I think that big, like, box of that car people get, like, dragged into, or that maybe some, like, newer car people don't maybe realize yet, or maybe they're just not about that type of stuff. But I feel like exactly what we're talking about, these price ranges, they hold like a large array of different cars that hold very different purposes. And, like, a lot of newer or more narrow-minded car people see that, and they're like, the only good one is the fastest one of that thing.
Or the newest one.
Instead of the one that provokes the most emotion.
Not calling out American cars, but they're just a very good example for this category.
Of emotionless plastic?
They like pushing the horsepower to the extremes. Yeah. Where it's like, you look at the Corvette, you look at the Challenger, you look at the
horsepower,
the Mustang.
For price.
Yeah, they try to push the limits with how much horsepower they could get out of it for the price. Mm-hmm. And then you, like, look at European cars. Look at, like, the new 911s.
400 horsepower since the beginning,
like,
of time.
It's like, okay, you're going to have 250 less horsepower than the American alternative high-performance sports car.
But your car will look good.
But also, you have to think, how well is the car actually going to perform driving-wise? Yeah, these high-horsepower cars, they could go straight very fast.
Yeah, most American shit is just straight line.
But will it handle, like, in the canyons? Will it handle the Nürburgring well?
What is it, like the GT500s or 50s?
The new Mustang, those GT500s were... I mean, actually, Mustang, I'm going to give a huge shout-out to Mustang. Recently, I believe it was in 2015 when they got an IRS, an independent rear suspension, and they dramatically changed from being that rear-wheel drive, solid rear axle drive into people, into, oh, this can actually proper. Handle on a track. And now some of these things are actually wicked. Like,
I feel like a lot of American cars are leaning more towards that. And as much as I hate American cars or don't like Mustangs or whatever, they are becoming, like, really well balanced. Like,
if I had to
cars.
Choose between, let's say, Challenger, Charger, Mustang, and Camaro, because those are kind of like the 3-4 kind of go-to cars when it comes to, like, American new school muscle cars, I would choose a Mustang all day between Camaro, Challenger, Charger, Mustang.
I'm on that same Mustang.
Because
I'd take the bus.
Would you really? The Hellcat.
Okay.
I'm good.
No, but between those four cars, the Mustang is
the most balanced.
It's the most balanced in terms of a driving car, because having driven, like, I've driven a Challenger, I've driven a Charger, I've driven a Mustang, and also a Camaro. Camaro is kind of like in between. Mustang kind of drives more in terms of a handling car, in my opinion. With a Challenger and a Charger, I can't see across the hood. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Where it's like they're very more boat-like. Yeah. But it's like it's to each their own. It's like I'm coming from a person who is a very Euro-influenced person, smaller cars especially too, to where it's like instinctively I'm going to pick the Mustang because it's the least boat-like car out of the four.
I picked Mustang because I actually – I like cars that
Well, your first car was a Mustang.
Yeah, so my first car was Mustang. I love Mustang. But I feel like Mustang has the most heritage. Mustang has never stopped production.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
They should.
Camaro did. Camaro did.
Mustangs never stopped production?
They never did. The Mustang has always been in production and has never stopped. So that's pretty crazy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Except for the I mess with cars that have heritage, especially when we're talking about passion. Things like my ultimate dream car, passion. There are plenty of other cars that I can pick for the price, especially
Pontiac
right now.
Pontiac Solstice.
No.
Yes. Okay.
It is a Ferrari 355.
Okay.
That is the pinnacle for me. That is what I'm going to get someday, and I was going to buy before I got my Porsche because they were 50 to 60 grand.
Rip.
They're 120 right now.
Yep.
Would you rather have a 355 or a Testarossa?
I would still get a 355.
I would rather have a Testarossa.
Very Testarossa is cool.
Very different cars.
Yeah. The 355 is just... And it has been labeled as the best-sounding Ferrari in the history of Ferraris. So.
Okay. 360 Modenas.
Beautiful car. Oh. You can drive it every day.
Let's go through, pick two cars in the same price range but very different, and we all have to pick one. You go first, so I have the most time to think about it.
So, explain to me the rules again.
Like, just pick any two cars that are in the same price range that are different, like very different from each other, and then we'll tell you which one we'd rather own.
Okay.
Oh, that's tough.
An R34 GTR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's the price range of like, what price range are you putting that in?
I'm putting that in like 40 to 50.
Oh no, it's got to be current price.
Okay, current like a brand new one. Okay, so...
Wait, what?
Those sell for like $160, bro.
Are you talking about R34 Skylines?
Oh, I'm stupid. Please, you said 35. Please edit this out. Yeah, R35.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, 40 grand-ish. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get a used one for 40 grand.
Yeah. R35s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
R35s aren't going for 40.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah.
What? Old-ass high-mileage ones are pretty worthless.
Like 08s?
Yeah.
Oh.
They're not expensive.
Not at all.
The new ones are still expensive.
Right.
Yeah.
But like high mileage stuff is
high mileage,
like 40
to 60. I'm giving you a used R35 GTR.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or a brand new Z.
Oh.
That's actually a good one.
I would choose the Z.
Yeah.
Brand new Z, huh?
Ah, that's a hard one. That is a hard one. I wasn't expecting you to throw both of those.
Yeah.
I don't know. I might go R35 just for that silhouette kit we talked about.
Right.
But then you have to spend more.
Yeah. You can spend more, yeah.
And then you get a clapped out R35?
I'll rebuild it, dog.
You know how much money that's going to cost?
How many miles are on your car?
You know how expensive those motors are?
Yeah. It's fucking, this is hypothetical, bro.
There is nothing hypothetical about this.
See, he's so judgmental.
Yeah. I'm going R35 just to spite Steven now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your turn. Let's see what you got.
Ah, shit.
Because I still got nothing.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, I'll go. Fucking, what's something in the price range of like 60, 70?
You can't ask me to give you a car.
All right, we're going to go lower. Miata or LS400?
LS400.
Even though Miata should be $500, but are somehow now the same price
as like
LS.
Honestly, I would choose a Miata just because how go-kart feeling they are. It would be
as opposed to like a bus.
Honestly, there's so much like hate on Miatas because they're just a Miata and everybody has them now.
I feel like they don't get any hate.
But
I feel like everybody loves them.
Miatas.
Like
yeah.
For like the overwhelming majority, I feel like there's a lot of jokes about them, but I feel like everyone deep down is like. Yeah,
they would romp one.
Yeah, like yeah, it's Miata. It's a good car.
Why would you choose the LS over the Miata?
My
styling and profiling.
Yes, styling and profiling 100% to the max. Because I cannot, if I had the opportunity. Not saying that I haven't had the opportunity, but if this is my given choice between two cars, I cannot escape doing a traditional VIP LS build. Like, I just cannot. That's
always going to be my answer. Yeah. So, yeah.
100%. I can't not.
In that price range of Miata, yeah. of what I'd rather do is drive a VIP car.
Yeah.
But 100%. There's also, those exact kids that are in the comment sections being like, oh, you put camera on an LS, your car's a piece of shit because I put R888s on my stock Miata and I go to the track and therefore I'm a better car guy than you. When this is the whole argument of like, cars can be whatever price in these same price ranges.
And it's all preference where it's just like,
the price is based on
having,
the experience.
You having a Miata that you track every weekend doesn't mean you're a better car guy than this guy that cambered out his LS. No, it's just different stroke for different folks.
Yeah.
It's a common concept.
Yeah. I just feel like that LS, and I'm sorry for all you Miata people. I don't hate you. I actually love Miatas, but I just think the style and the nostalgia for the LS is just...
In my eyes, definitely. Like, I see all that old, like, 2000 tech.
Yeah.
You're just like, ooh. See, what did they have going on in 98?
Dude, especially because, okay, so my brother had a 98 Lexus something ES300.
Oh, okay.
It's the weird shaped one.
Yeah.
I think they're called, like, Solaras or something weird. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But they had freaking... heated seats.
Yep.
They had like all this crazy luxury in these old Lexuses, and
it's
they're
like
just
LS,
so cool.
My LS 430 that I sold a while ago was a ultra luxury package. That thing's got massaging rear seats.
The mirrors
all
move
heated.
When you back up.
Yeah, like it's got so much tech that like some modern cars don't have right now.
See, my true Euro's coming out to where I would never buy like a car like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy like a Audi A8.
That wasn't in the options, bro.
It wasn't in the options.
It fits into the same genre, but it's just Euro, not JDM.
Yeah.
But all right, I got
so,
two cars.
So do yours. Yeah.
LC. Or first LC. Gen R8.
LC.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is the perfect difference of like you're the R8 guy.
Which I would
the
pick
LC
the first
guy.
Gen R8 hands down any day.
Mm-hmm. I'm picking the R8 too because actually... expose myself here. I'm a huge fanboy of the R8s. I love them. They drive great.
The R8 has it's the first gen R8 because I could care less about the second gen R8s, honestly.
So,
but do they look like a bar of soap?
No.
No.
Whack.
They look like beauty. The
real beauty is a bar of soap.
That's true.
Dove car.
Dove.
Dove for car.
Perfect difference where it's two completely different cars, two completely different styles. But yeah, it's just something where it's like, here's an example. The first gen R8 is pretty much a supercar in a way. The LC is as close to a supercar Lexus kind of got for like,
well,
in that style.
Whoa, what about the LFA guy?
LFA, yeah, the LC is just like a GT car, just a Grand Tour. It's like, I look at the LC as being expensive in the same way that like a weirdly nice truck is expensive. And you're like, that was $100,000. And you're like, oh,
that
I
face,
guess not everything.
That face, yeah.
Not all the price
with,
goes.
With,
towards,
like, Audi
with
doesn't
the Boston
have,
accent.
Yeah, this thing's $100,000.
This thing is.
Dude, Boston, this thing's wicked.
Well, this has been long, rambly, and a little different.
Yeah, I would still choose the R8. Sorry. But.
I still wouldn't, so. It's
yeah,
okay. We're all on the same different page.
Well, to get back onto something that we're all used to and familiar around here. Late night call-outs.
Call-outs? Or can I show you guys this reaction real quick?
Let's see this.
Because I've been on my phone chronically this week, and I found a good one. So.
Let's see it.
This week, pulling up some real Virginia shit, or at least my dad's side of the family used to do this and kind of still does it.
So while Alex pulls that up, if you guys enjoyed this topic regarding what we talked about, or if you have anything you want to note and add in, comment down below. DM us, whatever it may be. Hope you enjoyed that topic, and it's something where we did kind of ramble on it, but it's something where...
We got a few messages from people who were saying we should be more, like, conversational.
Yeah.
And...
This was conversational.
Yeah. Very conversational.
These episodes are very experimental with, like, length and topic-wise and all that stuff. We're still trying to find that sweet spot into what you guys enjoy the most, what we enjoy the most, and...
Yeah.
Make the most
out of
it.
So if you guys felt engaged to kind of this dynamic of how we are talking, let us know. It's something where we're always open to critique.
And without further ado,
let's see it.
Let's see you guys check out some boat racing.
Oh my.
Just wait. Does not come off throttle.
I'm in disbelief. Wait. There's no way he's steering this thing. Yeah.
Wait.
What the?
You guys never seen this?
No. Never in my life.
Yeah.
Bro, there's no way a boat handles like this.
Shout out my cousins.
Wait, he's just flooring it through the corners.
He's ripping it. It was a record for that day.
For that day? There's somebody who goes faster than this?
I think. This was just a random clip I came across. I'm sure we'd find some crazy shit if we looked up like fastest.
Bro, I'm just baffled because I've never seen this
boat
type
handle like that.
Yeah, a boat handle like this.
Look at
he's
that.
Just flicking it around.
Yeah.
Who is this guy?
Yeah. Who is it? Exactly. Who is this guy?
What do you think about that?
That was wild.
You guys
nuts.
Trying to do some boat racing this weekend?
Actually, this is something.
We just have to go buy a Hellcat.
Yeah.
Do some boat racing.
Oh, yeah.
There's boat races all over LA every night.
I'm actually like really, really into this. Not saying I'm into it right now, but like the concept of buying a boat, jamming a big twin turbo LS into the back of that boat.
Twin turbo LS connected to like a 50-pound fiberglass shell.
Sounds like a ton of fun.
I've always been
like super engaged to like the gnarly like speedboat builds with like.
Oh, like the cigarette boat stuff? Where they're just like super long and just chop through water.
Yeah.
Well, no,
go like 300 miles an hour.
Not those, but like the ones where like how Tyler was saying they slap in like a V12 or like a V8, like a LS swapped speedboat with twin turbos, that.
Yeah, there's definitely. I think there's a form of boat racing. It's like drag racing kind of. And then there's the cigarette boat stuff. And then there's like that, which is like the boat equivalent of like track racing.
Yeah. That's autocross for boats. What the hell is that even
called? It's almost in like a marsh or like swamp kind of.
But it's like they cut out channels for that. Is that a man-made course?
Yeah, I think so. Most of those courses are. I don't know if that
Which my boat would be exactly how I built my car, where I build it.
Not driving.
Look cool and drive fast, but then it just drives.
My boat would just sink, and I'd be like, "That's on purpose."
How many turbos could we slap onto a boat, Tyler?
At least seven.
At least seven.
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 Yeah.
I don't like odd numbers. Eight.
Eight. Yeah. One per cylinder.
No, that's wild. That's like same terrifying. Shit when we saw the fan car. Reaction video from previous episode, like seeing that and reacting to it, that's like the same concept of like
it's not
a car, but like that's a boat.
It's visually
but, like,
weird to see.
It's just seeing something be able to drive like, or boat that fast.
Yeah.
Or it's like the fan car, like to hitting the corners.
I had to
boat
that fast.
Yeah, had a boat that fast.
That should be boating.
Yeah, boating.
Yeah, I was boating this weekend. We were going boat speeds.
Yeah.
Boat speed.
Yeah. But
I'm just like, I still don't understand the concept of how that sits in the water like that. Like, what is underneath that boat?
It's all about
steer
like
that.
If you watch it very closely, like when you turn, you turn so early, and it's all about like the transfer of weight, like into the wake kind of.
Well, also the boat, if I'm not mistaken, it comes somewhat to a point at the bottom of the boat.
As all boats do. Yeah.
So, but I'm not sure about their design with it, where if it comes to a harder point, if it has a harder fin, where when it does turn,
it's got
will
some sort
kind
of like
pick up.
Gnarly rudder on it.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking
at.
Rudder.
If anybody has any knowledge of these aquatic sports, bang my
aquatic
mind.
Aquatic sports.
I don't know boats. I got to go to boating school.
I want to know how. I want to know what I got to do to get into this. And when you hit me with a budget that's over 100 grand, I'm out.
It's not that expensive to get into like the smaller stuff, but I'm just saying.
Go big or go home. Yeah. Speed boat.
You don't even need a big trailer. Those boats are like as big as this table. Anyways, let's go into that.
That's a one-way ticket to me drowning.
I think.
Okay.
Nope. That was a solid find for this week.
That was a solid find. I'm interested. I found something new that I can spend money on.
You might be YouTubing tonight later.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait till after SEMA.
Oh. SEMA boat build.
SEMA boat build.
Yeah. I'm also on SEMA. And Young Guns, our regionals, are competing in August and September. And they're like, hey, your car has to be mostly done
And your car's mostly not done.
Mostly not done.
Hey, further than me, so it's okay.
Yeah, both y'all are in some crunch time, and I'm on some lunch time. Anyways, let's get into the call outs.
The late night call outs.
All right, Tyler, you're first.
Okay. This one is personal to me. It's one of my homies. He does not put his name on IG, so I don't know if I'm going to disclose his name, but it's VQ, one of one, if you guys are looking.
Oh.
Very unique build. I don't know if you guys have seen this car out and about, because he doesn't really show it too often. He used to show it a few years ago for a little bit, and then not. The craziest thing is that he had gone in and done this whole one-off wide body for his G35, right? And it was crazy. And then he decided to then get a Liberty Walk kit and have them make the first G35 Liberty Walk wide body kit for his car after it was already wide bodied. So it's a wide body on top of a wide body.
I was going to say, it looks like that.
It's a wide body on top of a wide body. If you look at the rear taillights, you can see how far.
Wait, so it's a one of one kit?
Yeah.
Wild.
Well, which makes sense. His license plate is
VQ 101.
101. But that, it's from Liberty Walk?
Yeah.
They designed it. That's wild.
Just for his car?
Just for him.
Sounds, that is insane.
Sounds expensive.
Yeah. Well, you guys can talk to him. I'll link him up. He's friends with Dana. I really don't know how that came to be, how he convinced them to make that kit for him. But he said that... it took him months. I think it was something like that.
Damn.
To convince him to do that. And the craziest thing is, like, it's not just the bodywork. It also has performance. It's supercharged.
Oh, really?
That's yeah, cool. So it's like...
It's the hood bump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty nuts.
Big VQ guys.
Yeah.
That thing is pretty damn wide.
It's one of the... An early cars that had inspired me to do something drastically custom. He has a quote on one of the pictures that he posted. He said, "I'm a simple guy. If they don't make it for my car, I build it."
Word.
Facts. No, mm-hmm. I remember when I first got into kind of the show side of things, went out to local like actual shows and seeing this and seeing it like win and stuff like that. And it was pretty wild.
Yeah, and big ups to him because he recently, when I say recently, in 2020, bought a GTR as well, so.
Oh, wait, I think I saw this when it was gray.
No, it's been green.
It used to be gray.
How long ago?
No, it wasn't gray. That's somebody else's car.
Oh, is that somebody else?
Oh, okay, yeah. Never mind. Maybe I've seen that other guy's car.
Yeah, the other guy's car.
I was going to say, I recognize that like tiny little piece on the back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that gray one's different.
Yeah, that's his. That's another guy.
Gotcha. Yeah, that thing is pretty wild, dude. Wide body on wide body.
Shout out the homie, VQ one of one. Follow his stuff.
Well,
thanks, bro.
Hell yeah. Good pick, dude.
Yeah.
What about you, Steve?
So.
What are you feeling, Steve?
What am I feeling? I'm feeling some more wide body.
Oh, no.
And this one's on a Euro. So I am calling out. I can't pronounce his last Pajak Carbonier. His actual name is Lucas. Over in Europe, I don't know which country exactly. I think it's Russia or something. But you've probably seen it if you're on social media.
It's made its rounds.
He built some crazy AMG GTs, GTRs, and pretty much built all the modifications for them. Mainly the one that stands out is kind of the wide body kit and all the aero components. And the craftsmanship out of it looks absolutely insane. I know the cars were out there for Ult Race and they got plenty of exposure and seeing photos of the cars up close. Of course, I can't see them in person, which I wish I could, but seeing them up close photo wise, they're proper parts. And
yeah, I'm sure it's just as good in person. This is one of those cars that I highly doubt it's clapped
which,
in person.
I'm sure there's plenty of money put into developing the wide body kit, the aero components, all the carbon parts, even like the wheels and suspension and stuff like that, as like all the control arms. That's all through his company Carbonier as well. So anything you need for these AMG GT line cars, all the components, he source, or pretty much it's through his company Carbonier, which is pretty cool. So
look how wild those rear turbofans are.
They are. Yeah, it's insane. Yeah, and you want to know what's also crazy? If you want to see one of these.
Yeah, the full face one in the front.
Yep.
If you want to see how these kits are shipped, because they take so much pride in this company, it's actually insane. Evan Shanks has one of these.
Is it the same one?
It's the same one. Yeah. You should see the crate huge. That this thing comes
in. Oh, you know who also has this kit? Impressive Wrap.
Impressive Wrap. Jeff.
They also have one on their orange AMG.
I filmed it. I shot it. It was sick. Oh,
around here?
Yeah. Yeah, Impressive Wrap. Yeah. I didn't realize that was this kit until I came across
this.
Lucas's, the company / his personal page and seeing it. One thing that I absolutely love, which I hate because now it's becoming a trend and more people are doing it.
GT3 front fenders? Sucks.
No. The LED light on the spoiler.
Oh, it's so cool.
This is the only one I've seen like this other than like track cars.
Really?
Yeah.
So I saw a TikTok a few weeks ago of somebody retrofitting an LED onto their wing, which
it looks sick. It looked good.
I'm sure like it doesn't look like this because from my knowledge, this wing is custom built with the LED in it.
Yeah, that looks like OEM. That's like wildly clean.
So, which I give complete props to, and it's something where if I'm when I do put like a chassis mount rear wing on the GTI that I'll custom make.
Hey.
Not you, the type what? Of chassis mount you're thinking.
Okay.
Would you guys
picture that on the GTI?
Would you guys consider that a big brake kit?
A chassis mount?
No, I was talking about the stupid brake light in the wing.
Wow.
Jesus.
I'll count it.
But that's something where it's like trying to do something like it looks so damn cool.
Yeah, I love those cars too.
Yeah, that's it looks like sick.
One of my favorite.
Yeah, overall, this car is well done. And what I want to see, Lucas, if you end up seeing this or anything like that, I want to see one of these kits molded to the car. That would be wild. But props to you. Props to the business. And
Lucas, if you're watching this, come do our podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, come fly over to the US of A.
Yeah, just a little light cross-country, cross-globe flight.
Nothing big, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Just for a podcast.
Best of wishes to you over... overseas and with the company, and wishing you all the best with the growth of the company and everything you do.
Word. All right.
Last but not least,
Tyler and I are going to be very familiar with this one specifically. Sean of It's Okay and his BK2 Genesis. This thing, I mean, you know, Sean's been
around.
Super OG of the Genesis community. Yeah. Still hanging on to it. It's like better than ever.
What do you
now.
Mean hanging on to
I, that sounded bad, but
what do you mean hanging on?
He still got it. But it's gone
still
through.
Got it.
You still got yours.
I'm
whoa.
It's gone taking through shots. So many phases is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's been a different color every year. It's been like full body changes every year. He totaled it, fixed it himself.
He's gone through the paces with it.
Yeah, so many different wheel setups. Another wide body car shout out today. Rare
wide.
For me.
Woo. Sponsored by wide bodies.
Sponsored by self tappers.
no.
But no, it is like a full drift build. He's been building it for forever, trying to get it to the point where it finally is like right now, which I'm super stoked for him. But it was bagged for a long time, and he was like one of the only dudes out there really like trying to prove. Not me. Really like trying to prove that like you can do like track or performance setups on bags, and he is no longer on bags.
Proves the point. You can't.
Yeah, I mean you can.
Just kidding.
He just blew quite a few, so I think he got over it. But it's like one of my favorite Genesis builds just because of the use it gets. This thing gets ripped on, and I highly recommend checking it out. Obviously, check out It's Okay as well. Collab coming soon. That's going to be sick. We working on it. We've been working on it. It's almost about to go into production.
Big shout out for keeping the gen community alive, baby.
Yeah, for real.
I got to give respect out to him with It's Okay.
It's Okay is taking over the world, dude.
I've been following that brand before. Like, I even knew you. I've been keeping my eye out on it just for, like, inspiration stuff. Like, for example, like, with my brand, like, when I was really pushing out stuff with the brand. It's it's really cool what he does, and he has a really good creative mind. So
yeah,
it's cool crazy
to watch. It's pretty okay.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right.
I tell this story all the time, but when he was starting that brand, he was like asking me some questions about when I was doing like Street Akuma stuff. And he was like, I think the brand name is going to be itsokay.gg. And I remember putting down my phone and I was like, damn it, that's so good. Like, people are going to buy that shit up, dude. Which they did. So congrats to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Much love. Appreciate you guys watching this episode.
Thank you guys so much. Again, comment,
subscribe.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Do all that stuff.
If you're watching us on Spotify, give us a 5-star review. I heard that helps. Also, yeah. If you're on Spotify, can you comment on Spotify? No.
I don't think so.
Damn, I was going to say.
Just give that 5-star.
I want to know how many people are watching the Spotify. Do we have exact numbers?
Yeah, we got numbers, bro. We got like.
Oh, we did?
It's half-half. It's split.
It's literally.
Shout out to the half y'all on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever.
Yeah, wherever you guys are listening.
Wherever you guys get your podcast.
Like, if you're just listening to our voices and not seeing our faces at all.
Our beautiful faces.
Maybe one episode, go to YouTube. Watch us. We and have, then go back and listen.
Yeah,
the videos are on Spotify, bro.
Come on.
For the
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're getting uploaded. They just take a while. It takes. I got a couple more to do.
Right, but watch us on YouTube. Help us out with the algorithm because we're trying to grow. Your boy's out here trying to grow.
Trying to have a good time with some homies. Spread some love. Spread some car talk and do some car stuff.
Right.
All right.
Sick.
Have a good day.
Peace.
Bye.